Mike, love you, son. Amen.
I am delighted to have the opportunity to be back at camp meeting. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Last year, after 51 years, I had a tonsil that grew back. If it's going to happen, it has to happen to me, you know. But I had a tonsil that actually grew back that the doctor said really needed to come out. And so the only thing that would fit into my schedule is to do it while camp meeting was going on. It took him all of 8 minutes to get it out. 8 minutes. But it took me 10 days to get over it. But I am delighted to have the opportunity to be back in Taylorsville. How many of you are glad to be here? Amen. How many of you rather be here than in jail? Let's see your hand. Amen. How many of you glad you're on your way to heaven this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the goodness of God. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of 1 John. 1 John, chapter number 4. Read a few verses there and trust the Lord will bless. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Eternal Father, one more time this side of eternity, we beg you for the touch, the presence, the breath of God to be upon us, to make us to be an instrument unto righteousness, a vessel unto honor unto Jesus. I pray you'd guard my mind, guard my mouth, guard my tongue, Lord, that it might say the very word you would have it to be said, that we might be used of God to be a blessing is our desire and our prayer. In Jesus' name, touch hearts and lives. I pray, Father, if there's one in this building that knows not Christ, that has never been born again, that does not have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in their heart today, may this be the good hour when the Holy Ghost of God would speak to them in conviction and show them their need of a Savior. Encourage the discouraged. Speak to the weak. Bind up the brokenhearted. Whatever you do, we'll be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory, world without end. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. There is a phrase in these verses that I read in your hearing that has always intrigued me. The phrase says, as he is, so are we in this world. These words prod me. They prompt me. They want me to check things out in my life that would say what there is about me that would be like Jesus in this world. Now, I can be honest with you this morning and tell you that when in the process of examining myself in comparison to the Son of God, I find too many things that are troubling. I see far more about me not like the Lord Jesus than like him. And yet, this is what these verses make comparison to. Because of his great love for us, because of what he has done to prove that wondrous love, because on July 22nd, 1964, on a Wednesday morning in an old-fashioned altar, he saved me and came into my heart to dwell, to live through me, I'm glad to report to you that there are some characteristics that are in some ways likened unto him. Not because I'm good, but because he's good. Not because I desire all the time to do what's right, but to know that he has done right with me. that he never has failed to do right, but has always done right and can never do wrong. Amen. Put a shout in the Presbyterian right there. He never has done wrong. He's always done well. And everything that he's done for us and in us has been good. Matter of fact, he said it was good when he did it. Amen. Our birth, his incarnation, he really never had a natural birth. As already been said, he came to earth and wrapped himself in flesh. He who always has been, always will be, had no beginning, will have no ending, came to earth, wrapped himself in flesh, and was a supernatural incarnation. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible said, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." God became man for the purpose of our redemption, that he could give us the opportunity to identify with him. Not in our natural birth, but in our supernatural birth. That's what my second birth was supernatural. I've got one birth that I can't remember, but I've got another birth that I can't get over. Something happened in my heart, something happened in my life where I became a new creature in Christ Jesus the Lord. Old things passed away and all things became new. And because of that, I have a supernatural birth likened unto his supernatural birth. The Bible said in John 1, chapter, verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. But, hallelujah goes right there. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and so was I in my supernatural birth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I am so glad that I remember being lost. Amen. I'm glad I remember what it was like to feel the condemnation of my sin upon my soul and to know that my next breath might be in hell. But he didn't leave me in that condition. He kept wooing me and kept drawing me and kept speaking to my heart and kept telling me the words that I needed to hear to build holy faith in my soul that I could believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. I too did not repeat a sinner's prayer. I called on God on my knees from a broken heart and said, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake." Under the condemnation of my sin, I know what it was like to be dead in trespasses and in sin. And he quickened me by the Holy Spirit of God, made me alive in spirit, that I could be saved, converted, born again from above, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, made new from the inside out. I ain't got over it yet. Amen. It didn't just happen yesterday. It happened a long time ago. And it's better today than it was then. You can't really explain it, you can't really tell it, but you can experience it. And the only way to know that you know that you know that you are saved is to experience that Holy Ghost of God birthing you into the family of God. The power of God must do the work. I want to know today, do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that you're saved? Has a supernatural event taken place within you? Do you have that everlasting, abiding one right now inside of you? This wondrous, amazing, free gift of God is still available to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible makes it profoundly simple when it says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm glad I know that I know that I know I am saved. When Jesus was speaking, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thank God the Holy Ghost came to where I was, quickened me, made me alive to the spiritual nature of God, drew me to Jesus, made me to know that Jesus is Lord, saved me, and birthed me into the family of God. Made me an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ himself. And now because of that, while I am in this world, I am as he is in this world. Jesus was sent by the Father, given a great work to do, to purchase salvation for whosoever would believe and trust in him. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. My words, my actions, my deeds, here in this world, describe and tell to somebody else that I know him and that he knows me. What? Glory to God. I'm glad there is action, there is proof, there is reality in the fact that I'm his and he is mine. It's not something that was done in a corner. It's not what wasn't a sign in the card, shaking the preacher's hand, being dunked in a baptistry somewhere. I'm glad I got birthed into the family of God, and the Holy Ghost made it real to my soul. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Son of God came into this world with a great work to do, and he finished it. Amen. He finished it. Matter of fact, he said, it is done. He's not working on it anymore. Everything that needs to be done to save whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord has already been done. Amen. Amen. The Son of God was given a mandate. He was given a command. He was given a job and a work to do. In John chapter 20, verses 20 through 21, he said, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Jesus was given a mandate, given a command, given a work to do. And when he saved me, when he called me, when he sealed me with the Holy Ghost of God, when he put the Holy Ghost on me and in me and around me, that I might do his command. He's my boss. But he's my Savior and my Lord. My Lord has said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And he that said amen makes it to be so. Be an ambassador for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Proclaim the best news, the best story of his grace and of his glory. I'm impressed with the early church. The early church was not concerned about what the world was coming to, as it was about who had come to the world. You want to know why we can have revival today if we really want it? Because Jesus has come. Because he's paid sin debt for whosoever shall believe and call upon his name. Amen. The work has already been done. It's left up to us to use our words and use our bodies and use the talents God has given us that we might glorify him. He said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In the book of Acts, I read about some fellows who got the can't help it. Peter, James, and John were beaten with blood literally running down their backs and threatened and told, don't you ever speak, don't you ever preach, don't you ever tell anybody else about this Jesus. And Peter looked at them and said, whether it be right to answer unto God or unto you, you judge. Except for us, because we can't help it. Glory to God. I've seen too much. I've experienced too much. I know too much. I have too much to keep my mouth shut. I have to tell it. It's bigger than I am. In this world, as he is, so are we. In Acts chapter 10, verse 37, the word of God said, that word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. Amen. I believe I'll take what God says. Amen. I believe I'll take what the Word of God has to say to my heart. I'll be done just in a minute. Three questions that we all need to ask ourselves. Where'd you come from? Your answer should be, you came from God. But you were, because you were created in His image. Number two, what are you doing here? Amen. What are you doing here? I heard one of the best testimonies the other day I believe I've ever heard in my life. A little lady, 87 years old, in a nursing home up in Virginia. I had the opportunity to preach to them that morning. I got introduced to her sitting outside, and she was sitting there, and she said, you know, for a long time, she said, I was a Baptist preacher's wife. Said, my husband pastored the same church for 40 years. And said, God called him home to glory about 16 years ago, And I wondered what God had left me here for. She said, I've got to a place I can't take care of myself. I got to have somebody around. I can't walk good, and I have to have somebody help take care of me. And I wondered what God had left me here for. She said, not too long ago, I was in my room here in the nursing home, and they brought me a new roommate. And that little woman laid over there in the bed and cried. And I was laying there and watching television, and the Holy Ghost said, turn off the TV. Some of us ought to have heard that some time ago. She said, the Holy Ghost said, turn off the TV. She said, I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, well, I'm not watching anything bad. I wonder what I need to turn it off for. She said, I heard that little woman whimpering over there in the bed. The Holy Ghost said, I said, turn the TV off. She said, I turned it off, and I made my way over to her, and I sat down, and I said, what can I do for you? How can I help you? She said, I'm really sick, and I'm scared, and I don't know what tomorrow may hold. She said, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? She said, I'm not sure about that. And she said, I began to take the Word of God and to witness to her and tell her about the good things of God and how she can know that she's saved and on her way to heaven. And she said she prayed and asked the Lord into her heart. She got saved by the grace of God. Amen. She said, a little while later, the nurses came in to administer their medicine to us and said, the little lady raised up her hand. She said, I got to tell you something. I got saved a little while ago. She said, the next morning, when another nurse came in, she said, that little woman raised up her hand and she said, I got to tell you something. I got saved last night. That was on the Wednesday. She had witnessed to her, and Wednesday night she had got saved. And on Thursday, that little lady, Miss Hammond, had to go for therapy. And when going for therapy, she had to go to another building. And in going to that other building, the therapy lasted so long that they kept her over there that night. She came back Friday. And on Friday, when she got into her room, she noticed that she didn't have a roommate. And when the nurse came in, she said, what happened to my roommate over here? She said, oh, I'm sorry. She passed away last night. She got saved on Wednesday night. And on Thursday night, she went to be with Jesus because God had left a little woman there to proclaim the word of God and to tell her about the good news. That's what you've been left here for. That's what I've been left here for. So as in this world, we might be as he is. God bless you.
Appreciate it.